Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Yeah, there's nothing else going on in the world. You might as well talk about some college football. That's what we do on this show. My name is Spencer Hall. I am the editorial director. I guess editor-at-large is better. I like editor-at-large. It's vague. When anyone asks what you do, you're like, I'm editor-at-large. It's large! And it's at. And for it's, SB Nation.
It makes you sound like a secret agent who's, like, been stripped of his license to kill temporarily.
Yeah, no, that's generally my, like, ideal job description, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you kill? I used to be able to, but now the man's got me down.
And depending on how many plates you're pushing these days, it's probably accurate. Like, I'd imagine you're looking swole these days, right?
If you're within 6 feet of me, you're dead. If you're within seven, I gotta chase you, and then it's debatable. If you outrun me over 30 yards, you're probably gonna live. Like, I'll follow you to hell.
When's the last time you ran 30
in a
yards?
Car. 2 days ago.
Okay.
How'd it go?
Chasing a kid?
It was fine. It was fine. I mean, it's not, running's not fun, you know? And if you're like super big and jacked and swole, it's really not fun.
That's why we, as soon as possible in human development, we were like, fuck, can I just, hey horse, come here. I don't want to do this anymore. Can you do it? Can I just lay on you, please? Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to fucking invent agriculture if I have to take another goddamn step.
Yeah, you notice in the game Civilization, running disappears real fast, right? It's not like, oh, you have sprinting troops. No, they're like, we got horses.
So since you've gone ahead and opened up this can of worms, your scout is pretty useful all throughout the game. Even in towards the very end, I always feel like Mike Leach whenever someone mentions Civilization. So I'm like, I know you don't give a shit, but I'm about to talk. But your scout is useful toward the very end as a spy.
Well,
you can park him up on a hill till the end of time, and you can see if an army's coming.
There are people who brag about running. Like, that doesn't make it good just because some people like it.
Yeah, I mean, people brag about, oh boy, I returned videos on time. I never understood why people got in trouble in that. I always turn my homework in on time. How's that treating you?
I like Notre Dame football.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, I floss every day. Don't know how other people have trouble doing it.
I remember the name of the university I graduated from.
Yeah,
and
wow.
I'd like you to remember it as well.
Wow, the mundanity of your pride is amazing. Please, engage me further. I tend to pay my bills on time, sometimes early. Wow, get a merit badge for that. Way to go.
You know Notre Dame did have auto pay set up for the Charlie Weiss contract, so
that was smart. Ooh, boy, and that's real smart because that came due.
You don't want the late fee on that $2 million annual. Ooh,
if you can't afford to pay it, you know what happens? That motherfucker comes back.
Read the fine print, sucker.
Okay, I'm in charge again.
Does Charlie Weiss come like a Tufted needle mattress in a box that you have to be very careful opening, right? Like.
Actually, like, so let's say Brian Kelly, let's say they go 7-5 in 2017, and you fucked up the contract, and oh shit, Charlie Weiss is coming back, and he wants to stage a coup. Are you just like, whatever? Sure.
Well, no, I mean, I think you're mostly mad that you didn't pull the ripcord sooner and argue like, hey, we're still paying you. You're on the hook, buddy.
You throw money at him like he's a damn vampire and it's I garlic or whatever.
You call it a buyout. I call it a retainer.
I will tell you, Mike.
You're on retainer to be not coach.
Two things about Notre Dame amuse me. One, the claim that people enjoy making online by calculating the exact value per win that they'd pay, saying, well, you know, Charlie Weiss, man, he was like at Kansas, he was 1.25 mil a win. And in Notre Dame, he was 1.4 mil a win. I would like to ask anyone listening, I don't know, Alabama fans, for instance, trying to find the most corrupt and fanatically devoted people in college football, you'd pay 1.4 mil a win if you knew that was the cost ahead of time, right? If you lined it up, you go, boys, you got a maximum of 14 games. It's going to cost you about $22 million to go undefeated this season. You know who's going to pay for it? Alabama. They're going to, like, close some preschools. They're going to take away Head Start funding. They'll be like, we'll find it, damn it. There's couch cushions. There's children's welfare.
They won't pay for the Ole Miss loss because they know they can survive that.
Yeah, you get one freebie.
Heck, that's a guarantee that you're going to the title game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and if you're Kansas, damn right you're paying 1.2 mil for a win. Really, how many do we get? Four?
One.
Yeah, let's find it.
I think we can scratch together 2.3. Can I get 0.3 of a win? Do you round up?
Sure. You still get to play Texas, so.
You see, if we lower everyone's price per win to the point where it costs $5 a win and we don't get any wins, an economic miracle happens. Kansas! Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd pay that. Like, I think that's kind of like really backwards thinking when you go, well, they cost that much per win. Well, yeah. You'd pay it in advance. That's not the point, man. Like, Charlie Strong, according to Darren Revell, and I just said his name, he unblocked me, so I can give him credit for that.
Wow, so you've like entered the sports business industry now.
I am a sports business reporter now. Magnet, if you will. Please come to my special convention of Thinkfluencers and Power Brokers, SpenceCon. Every day should be Salaryman Day. We're influential. We're very important. And there's only 50 of us. But you have to pay $7,000 to get into the convention. But once you're there, instant credibility. You'll be with all those other Thinkfluencers.
You'll also get a free pair of shoes from Spencer's new line, Thick Baller brand.
Thick Baller. Remember, six yards and deadly is our motto. 7 yards, you're probably getting away.
Thick Baller brand. Let's play half court.
Basically, I'm a rhinoceros at this point. Nearsighted, powerful. And if it goes further than 30 yards, we're just going to let you roll, buddy.
Thick Baller brand. Yeah, I'm cherry picking, but cherries are delicious.
$7,000 a pair. Thick Baller. Charlie Strong was 1.85 mil a win, by the way. So, way to go, Charlie. I don't know why this is a mark of shame when they're like, yeah, man, like he was really expensive per win. Luxury brands. How much you going to pay 50 cents for a Godiva truffle? I don't think so. You want to pay full price.
I think this is the wrong way to look at it. I think you should really be paying how much you paid per loss, right?
Yeah.
Because that, you get paid the same money, win or lose.
Ooh, yeah. So and Nick Saban, his losses are breaking the fucking bank.
That's right. And then you look at a coach like Charlie Weiss and you're like, well, you know. He really spreads that. He amortizes, is what he does.
Oh, if this were an insurance market, please. Please, Nick Saban incurring much greater costs per stroke, right? You're like, he only has one heart attack every 3 years. But
it's woo! Deadly. It's deadly.
It's a whopper.
It's the big one.
Yeah, it's a toe curler, man.
Whereas the Charlie Weiss program, yeah, we're amputating, but you got 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Charlie Weiss, the boxing Helena of coaches. We just amputate little by little. Work your way in.
Johnny got his gun. The yeah. Kansas Jayhawks head coach.
And like that movie, you'll be sightless, soundless, and mute, sitting there going, yes. Please, please kill me.
Please just kill don't, me.
Don't ever watch it. Don't ever watch it.
By the way, the other Notre Dame fact, I did not forget our second point, and that is a first. Notre Dame has the largest football staff in the country, which was according to an NCAA survey obtained exclusively by CBSSports.com. The largest staff, according to. All right, now we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that. I'm gonna let you hop in with the well actually here. Okay, I'm handing you the chute. You just drop in with the well actually when I am done with the basic facts of the case, indicating that they are incomplete as presented. Okay?
Yeah. Well, Your Honor, I would point out that even the NCAA is admitting we're just looking at websites and counting faces.
that is correct.
Okay, so Alabama has its secondary coaching staff and its tertiary coaching staff and its backup tertiary coaching staff, and I don't put their faces on the website. Why does anybody need to know what they look like?
That is correct. Now, and there's a story behind that. We'll get to that as well. On the face of things, the listed non-covert, right, credentialed staff for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they have 45 on-field coaches, including coaches, strength coaches, graduate assistants, and support staff. I think on EDSBS tomorrow, we just try to name all of them, Ryan. right? Like Jowl. I think like Jowl Monkey has to be one of them, right?
Oh, like, I see. This is like Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel's kids, basically.
Correct. Like, what do all 45 people do, right? Mm-hmm. Echo maintenance.
Right.
Definitely needed.
All of Philip Rivers' kids.
Every single one of them. Regis Philbin, just listed there at like the 38th slot for no reason whatsoever. He's a fan. He's good. But they're followed by, on the top five, by Texas at 44, Georgia at 42, Auburn at 41, and Michigan at 40. Michigan, by the way, Big Ten member. They handed a $20 million bonus to their commissioner because he makes a lot of tackles. Got a hell of an arm, Jim Delaney. Beautiful post patterns.
Who's at the bottom?
At the bottom in terms of bang for buck. And you asked that knowing the answer, and I love you for it.
Like, who's got like seven coaches?
Yeah, who's got two coaches, one of whom is part-time.
Kansas State? It's Kansas great. State, by the way, if you do Kansas State in terms of wins per staffers, no one is more efficient than Bill, I was born in the Depression, Snyder. It's beautiful.
Which Depression?
it was the South Seas bubble back in the 18th century, actually. Okay. But, you know, he made it through it and recouped his losses, you know, trading with the Dutch. Had a cinnamon farm in Jakarta. It was weird. Man, not because he was alive, but because, man, Bill Snyder swore that, you know, like, Dutch Indonesia wasn't worth the investment back in, like, 1620. Time and tide change everyone's opinions, man.
So what's the number for K-State?
Let's go through this. The actual number for Kansas State, if you are looking, and
I can tell you on the website they list, they say they have 10 full-time coaches.
Yes, they have total number of staff for Kansas State. They have 24. Now I will tell you this: the listed number for Oklahoma State is even lower. Like, if you want to know who's got this thing wired? Mike Gundy's practices are like 90 minutes. They only have 20 listed staff. They win somewhere between what? 8 and 11 games every single year, right? Mike Gundy lives in Stillwater where rent's like $30, right? I mean, dude has this like low-key wired for speed, man. Like, his life is in very, very good shape. All he has to do is like wear a singlet every now and then to like pimp for Oklahoma State Wrestling, who sold out their arena after he did that, by the way, in case you do not doubt that this man is a local god. And occasionally he has to get into like a public like snip fit with T. Boone Pickens. And who wouldn't enjoy that, man? Talking shit to a billionaire is great. Although I think T. Boone's now in that 100 million range. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Ooh.
Damn.
I know. Deep and factual burns. They don't go away or heal quickly.
What are we actually talking about this week?
Oh, man. Well, I wanted to start with a little bit of history.
Okay. You say start as if we are not already 10 minutes into this podcast, but cool.
Time is really a debatable quantity, right? Might not exist.
If you're a Big 12 ref, yes, that's true.
If you're stuck listening to this bullshit, then yeah, I guess that'd be a comforting thought.
Then you have decided that time is an expendable resource. That's true.
Well, you know what? According to some physicists, might not even exist as a variable. And if that's true, the full cast has never been a waste of anything but your attention.
Okay? Oh shit! So we've gone 4D.
We are.
Or have we gone 2D?
The podcast that plays 10-dimensional chess.
11-dimensional. Billiards.
That's us, baby.
Tell your story.
I would love to talk a little bit of history because we have just randomly, I'm just going to mention disclosing classified information. Not that it's relevant to anything.
Not that that's a problem.
Yeah. Not that that's a problem anywhere. Okay. But
God, you know, John McCain listens to this podcast, you monster.
He is going to be absolutely.
I'm leaving a 4-star review on iTunes. 4, I say.
That I will edit the next day to 5.
Yes, I am going to object and then let you guys do whatever you want.
I'm considering a 4-star review.
I will issue a sternly worded letter of support for you.
John McCain says you should subscribe to the full Shutdown Fullcast.
I will scowl at you while holding up a photograph of myself smiling.
John McCain, you spineless biatch. I object to your sentiment, but I support your ability to say it. 5 stars, gentlemen. Thank you, Senator McCain. The thing I wanted to start on, in terms of divulged intelligence and scandal, a little bit of history. I wanted to take you back to 1972. Back in ye old Southwest Conference. Now, if you do not know, kids, and I will take any help you guys would like in conveying the sketchiness of this conference, by the way, the Big 12 hasn't always been around. Nope. I know that such an august and stable institution as the Big 12, right, which has been a model of harmony and peace for everyone in college football, nay, a shining paragon of brotherly cooperation and equality among its members. The Big 12 has not always been here. Nope. It's actually a relatively new invention. And in this case, at this time, Oklahoma, the University of Oklahoma, and the University of Texas were both members of something called the Southwest Conference. The Southwest Conference, reputation-wise, Jason, what would you say the reputation of the Southwest Conference was?
Wee-haw!
Precisely. That's a really good way of putting it. Let me put it this way, okay? Almost exclusively schools from Texas. So in other words, just rich morons. Rich morons pouring money into football and buying stuff. Who is in that? SMU. Are you talking about Camaro buying Eric Dickerson paying SMU? You're damn right we're talking about SMU, okay? Oklahoma was in that conference. Oh, are we talking about Barry Switzer, Jamel Holloway, your mama got a new trailer, Oklahoma? You're damn right we do. See Barry if you need $100. He'll give it to you in cash. And forget about it. He really did. It wasn't like he was corrupt and like keeping tabs on anything. He'd just give you $100. You look like a good kid. Yeah, that. TCU. Back when they weren't exactly like Lily Clean. Yeah, this whole conference. And on top of that, Texas, where? Ryan, have you ever heard this story?
I mean, you haven't told the story, so.
No.
It was in 1972.
The LBJ story about how they used to close visits, particularly those with African American athletes on campus at the University of Texas.
No, I haven't, and I'm already afraid.
No, it's great. It's okay. Great. For a time, whenever there was an athlete who might be sort of hedging on whether they should come to UT Austin, which at the time had a reputation for being, broadly culturally tolerant, but not exactly the best or most inclusive place to be an African-American athlete. They would bring you onto the quad, and on the quad, you would hear the sound of a helicopter. And then the helicopter would land in front of you, and out would stride Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president from Texas, who signed the Civil Rights Act, strolling out of the helicopter, and he would say, "Well, welcome, gentlemen, to the University of Texas." And that was typically one of the things that they would do to close things. That gives you
Then he would show you his dick.
And then he's, "Does Ho Chi Minh have this?"
I mean, I did assume that was what would happen.
Yeah, does Barry Switzer have this? Well, I don't know. He might. He's he's very resourceful.
No, you'd know. Barry would not keep it a secret.
You're damn right we stole LBJ's dick.
We keep it locked in this safe.
I'll keep it there.
Oh, safe. Hell, that little old thing.
I took everything else from Texas. I might as well have taken that. Happier than a pig and shit. Barry Switzer. So, this gives you an idea of the theater, pomp and circumstance, and commitment to a certain moneyed degree of excellence in amateur athletics that was the Southwest Conference. That spread to pretty much everything that the conference did, including the art of espionage. 1972, Daryl Royal, legendary Texas coach, not too recently deceased. If there's a quote in football, by the way, and you hear it, Daryl Royal said it. Daryl Royal grew suspicious when, this is from a newsok.com, Daily Oklahoman article from 1996, OU's players had yelled, "Quick kick!" after a simple UT substitution, and then blocked the ensuing punt to break open a 3-0 game. Texas at that point hadn't used the quick kick in 4 years. So naturally, with Barry Switzer already beginning to eat him alive on the recruiting trail and some suspicion, Daryl Royal began to do some investigating on his own and got confirmation of the espionage from who? From a Houston businessman. Okay. And said that a guy named Lonnie Williams had posed as a painter inside Memorial Stadium. And when it came time to take notes on him, would go to the restroom and take notes on Longhorn workouts and practices. Now, naturally, the guy who was the contact for this was Larry Lacewell. I want you to remember that name, okay? First of all, Oklahoma or Southwest Conference coach named Larry Lacewell, straight out of Central Casting. But also, he's interesting for another reason. Also, Larry Lacewell, buddy of Barry Switzer. Barry Switzer, of course, denied everything. Royal said to the press that he would offer 10 grand if the OU coaches would take and pass a polygraph, proving their innocence. And if they do it, he'd quit coaching. Royal would quit a couple of years later anyway. But he said he would quit coaching. Typically when somebody's like, hey, if you do it, I'll quit, they kind of want to quit anyway. Right? Larry Lacewell in response said he'd take it, but not for 10 grand, but for 300 grand, and I quote, cash money. So if you want to know, by the way, another thing about the Southwest Conference, they're saying the phrase cash money in quotes well before Randy Moss.
Non-sequential. Okay? Non-sequential bills, please. No cops.
I'm gonna take that to Mexico and check it for a dive bomb.
To be clear, you did say take, not pass, right? I get the money? Okay.
Take and pass. Take and pass. Oh, shit. you think they weren't shit up on their oral contract?
Shit.
Please. Also, it got even worse. Went up in the papers next day. Associated Press reporter. Here's Royal refer to the Oklahoma Sooners as, quote, those sorry bastards. It's all very juicy, right? Barry Switzer completely denies it. Keep in mind, by the way, this is an article from 1996. At the time, who is Barry Switzer coaching, Ryan?
Oh, God, he's Cowboys coach, isn't he?
That's Super Bowl-winning Barry Switzer to you. At the time, by the way, Barry Switzer, just an assistant. He's not quite up on it yet. But years later, and here's my favorite part, okay? Everybody denies everything. Everybody gets real mad, right? Did Barry do it? Well, 1974 gets accused of it again. He denies it now, but he acknowledged it in 1990 in a book. Just wrote it down. Yeah, we did it.
If I did it, and I did.
And then denied it. Yeah, yeah. So Barry Switzer has alternately denied and admitted that they were, in fact, yes, in 1972 and 1974, cheating. In 1990, he wrote, it did happen, as it turned out, although I didn't know it at first. Daryl was right to accuse us of that. It was my fault, so I was the head coach, and it happened. In 2001, hell, Daryl was right. We were spying, but it happened several years earlier when I was assistant. But it's so damn long ago, I can't remember the details. Summary, TLDR, Barry Switzer was totally cheating in Oklahoma. So, you know, don't deny it. Just come right out and be Barry Switzer. Be 1990 Barry Switzer. Don't say, well, I can't remember it. You remember it. You remember like third down from a game in 1977 in the third quarter. Totally remember whether you cheated or not.
I just like the idea that Barry Switzer is like, well, as a creative writer, I felt that, you know, it enhanced the fiction for me to inject that drama.
I view that as the character's choice, not mine.
Yeah, so, I was playing Barry Switzer.
That's who Barry Switzer, that character, what he would have done. Spencer, you still need to tie a Larry Lacewell bow on all of
this. Thank you. That is our last bit. Larry Lacewell, the assistant in question, right, who is contacted for this and who says, if you give me 300 grand, right, that I will do it according to... Can't believe this actually happened. Like, this is the part that I actually cannot really necessarily believe, but that has been verified on more than one occasion. Larry Lacewell, who goes on to work with Switzer for the Cowboys, okay? Which goes to show you, man, if you got a winning pony, stick with it. Because guess what that pony will do? That pony will get you a job.
That also is what Barry Switzer calls his dick, winning pony. So
funny that you should take that turn in the narrative. Barry Switzer ends up having an affair with Larry Lacewell's wife.
Oh.
Yeah. And guess who's still friends?
Well,
Barry and Larry.
Barry and Larry just chose bros before the other option.
Well, I guess Larry's name is Lacewell, but doesn't lay well.
I quote Larry Lacewell. Barry Switzer will take a lot of things to his grave. A lot of them good, some of them bad. But nobody who knows football has ever accused him of being a bad football coach. You had an affair with my wife. Yeah, but damn that man.
Yeah, but damn it, ISO. Coach.
God, Jesus, man. You ever seen him watch film?
Of my wife.
Here's what you're doing wrong, Larry. How'd you get this footage?
Well, all right, that's part two of what I got to tell you.
Yeah, I believe Larry Lacewell is also the one who in Jeff Perlman's book, Boys Will Be Boys, is pissing off of the side of a wedding tent, right? Like drunk off his ass when Switzer is the Cowboys coach. And Barry is equally drunk and kicking him in the leg while he pees so he will pee all over himself at the same time. This is after this all happened. Like, if you want the original habitual line stepper, it's Barry Switzer.
Hell of a coach. Oh,
Listen, ma'am, they played hard, so I guess my wife was committed to the team. That's all I'm saying. I don't understand any of this. I'm just amazed it all happened, and that all of these people are still alive.
That's true. Well,
yeah, that's, by the way, like, I'm not making this up. That's from Perlman's book, and that is from a Dallas Magazine article that I will happily include with this post in case lawyers call. All true.
Let's talk about vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the time of the year for vacations, like in football generally, right? Like everywhere, but particularly in football.
Because Jason and I were not on last week's episode because we were each on vacation. I have not listened, but I'm told that you fucked up the audio, something fierce. So good job.
No, it was creative. It was Spencer was in the left ear and Holly was in the right. So it was like...
It was like Outcast.
Yeah. So like for the first 3 minutes, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with my headphones? You know, and then one listener pointed out, you could just take out the left headphone and it's like, oh, this is a really nice podcast.
It's true. I like to give the reader the option of, or listener the option of not having me at all. Or if for some reason they don't like Holly, which I can't imagine, they could just have me. Or if they don't like either of us, they can take both headphones out and simply let it play.
She might have them blocked on Twitter.
Holly?
Yeah, hard to believe. I know.
But yes, this is vacation. We asked you, the listener, for some vacation rules, right? Like, we wanted you to have takes that we could defend. And ultimately, I think these kind of got, like, codified because people kept saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah, usually we like to pick out, you know, four or five of the hottest takes and break those down. But this time around, y'all delivered so many things in bulk, just the same ideas over and over, that I went ahead and grouped them up. And I think we'll, you know, if we have time, we'll still talk about a few outliers that didn't fit any of these genres. Well, but
this grouping, looking at it all as a whole, paints a picture, a very particular picture of a vacationer. And it's a little bleak, I'm not going to lie.
So what I thought we could do is I could just lightning round through these and Spencer and Ryan can offer their verdicts, thumbs up or thumbs down, on whether we agree with these as a vacation truth.
Okay.
So Let me jump out of order here. Planning a vacation is fun. Executing it is not fun. Like the actual vacation, that is it's going to devolve into chaos. Recovering from it is when you really pay for the whole thing.
Okay, you want us to take these piece by piece?
I think that's just all. That is just one. That's one cone.
I don't know if planning a vacation is fun.
I'll summer on that.
I think it sounds fun, and then you start, and you're like, oh, fuck, this is... I mean, imagine, I was thinking about how hard it must have been to plan a vacation before the internet, because now if you're like, okay, we're going to location A, and we need to find a hotel, I can go on a million websites and find photos and reviews and compare rates and whatever. What the fuck did you do before the internet? How did you...
Oh, you looked at a damn paper map.
You went to AAA and they were like, well, let's see what the map of Yuma is and let's just call every Best Western and see who's available. But you had no idea what you were getting into once you signed up for something.
No, or you called. And that was my favorite, was you go, well, do you have any rooms? Yeah. Okay. Well, what are they like? And they would have to tell you. They'd go, well, that one's got two beds.
Were going to be like, they're assy and they smell like weed.
Yeah, no. You couldn't just, actually, I mean, a couple of them were like that, right? generally, the thing you would have to do is you would have to know somebody who'd been there, right? You'd go, oh, okay, man, is this place pretty good? And they'd go, yeah. Now, this is when you discovered which one of your friends was a dirtbag and which one of them were not. Because they'd go, yeah, man, it's fine. And you'd show up and it would be the place that had like, doorknob ripped off on the inside, but not the outside, right?
The kind of place where they use that thing you stick on the wall to prevent the door from banging in the doorknob from banging into the wall, and they use those to patch holes all over the room. Yeah,
kind of place that had like the sad red carpet of impending divorce and cigarette smoke. Yeah,
the asbestos blanket, the pure asbestos blanket.
Yeah, the vibrating bed, always quality when you showed up. My dad was the master of the last minute, like. The last minute botched vacation, like, hey kids, what if last minute we go to Cincinnati? And, you know, like, just kind of like jackass, like, oh god, I got a family, we should go on vacation with them. I worked like 90 hours this week, but god, they're only little for so long, let's go to Cincinnati. You know, it's very like sweet and endearing in retrospect, but at the time you're like, Jesus, Dad.
Why? Why did you do
this? They have a decent zoo.
They got a bridge. It's almost like the Brooklyn Bridge, but without the cool city surrounding it. Kentucky's on one side. Yeah, like that was my dad, and like, you know, we stayed at this one place called the Paddle Wheeler Inn.
Oh, Jesus.
I guarantee you. Yeah, you know it was back because we walked in.
You don't want your hotel to be named after an alternate mode of transportation.
No. You don't want like the telegrapher's treat. No, that's a bad form of communication. The Paddle Wheeler Inn.
The Penny Farthing Motel.
No, you don't want that.
You never want to stay in a themed hotel, period.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's Vegas. Vegas, it's acceptable.
Well, then you have no choice. Camp. Yeah.
Well, don't stay in Vegas. I think that's the overarching lesson.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I went to the Paddle Wheeler, by the way, just like to conclude. Moist carpet on the way in, deep shag, and the beds had coin slots for a vibrating bed, which is how you know it was quality. And not at all a front for prostitution.
So yeah, this lightning round is already slowing down to impressive levels. We'll say no, because planning a vacation is not fun. So yeah, I can't agree with the rest of the statement.
Well, it's a Big Ten lightning round. So a lot of people had variations on this take that all sort of melded into this one. Going alone on a vacation is the perfect vacation. If you have more than three people, you're going to have a bad time. If you have more than six people, you're going to have a colossally awful time. Go.
No.
This is not true. Six can be good, but you're going to break up into cliques, and you're going to have to accept that.
Yeah, so many of these questions depend on like where you are in your life. If you are single or coupled but childless, going on a group vacation overall can be good. I can't imagine. I haven't done it, but I have no desire to, like. And I did do this as a kid, where we and another family would go on vacations together. And even at the tender age of 11 or something, I was just like, this is fucking stupid. There is no like math to this. There is no like economic argument for this. It's just a way for our mothers to quietly hate one another.
Yeah. Yeah. Although these are good because I will say this, if it's with large family, you find out which one of your cousins A, does drugs, and B, has sort of a residual but lingering like sexual tension with you. Always great. Love that. So more than six.
Wow.
Yeah, more than six can be pretty. I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, right.
I haven't. Have either of you ever gone on vacation alone? I have not.
I have. It's great. Everyone should do it. I went to Glacier National Park. If I'd been eaten by a bear, no one would have found me for a couple of days. It rules. There's no demands. You get up when you want. You go where you want. You do exactly what you want. It's exactly like when you were a little kid and you're like, my wife always says that. She's like, when I was a kid, I wanted to go to Disney World and ride all the rides by myself. And you really, and you get to do that. It's amazing. Like you get, if you're the kind of person who gets a little lonely, hey, you can get lonely. But guess what? The internet's everywhere, right? So like for Glacier, I just went to the park completely by myself, occasionally met people, right? You have to convince them that you're not like a sex offender, right? Like, yeah, I'm not traveling alone because I'm a sex offender, terrifying. And after that, it's really, really cool. Like, I met two Belgians.
I just wanted to know if the parking was free. Why did you say that?
I know, yeah. Like, no.
sir, this is a Wendy's drive-thru.
but the key point is here, yeah,
again,
a Frosty, a small
true,
Frosty.
I'm not a sex offender.
I'm totally not a serial killer either. Gah.
I think the one potential downside to going on vacation alone is you'd have nobody to shit talk with. And I find that to be a very important part, at least of my vacation strategy. Because there will be a point where something stupid and annoying will happen to you, and it is extremely satisfying to have a friend or a partner or somebody that you can just be like, man, that was some fucking bullshit.
You know what, though? When that happens when you're alone, you know what it is? You're just like, oh, man. You don't even have that reflex. You're like, man, the universe is kind of crazy like that.
I don't know.
It could be anything. You're like, I got robbed. And you're like, oh, man, that's just a learning experience right
there.
You're just
like fake deep with yourself.
Oh, you get to be fake deep with yourself all day long, man.
Did I get robbed or did I never have those possessions in the first place?
You know what?
All possessions are theft anyway.
Maybe those possessions had me and maybe I was freed.
Exactly. It came and went, man. Like it just what? It was here and it's gone. But I'm still here, right? Like, yeah, it's cool.
Like, a cop sees it and runs up like, do you want to press charges? Listen, man, I just had a cool encounter with this guy who is borrowing some stuff from me. So, you know,
yeah.
Understanding yourself is the only passport you really need.
Yeah. Like when I was in Montana, I was waiting in line for Glacier. You know, you have to pay your entry fee for the weekend. I'm waiting. I'm pretty sure I'm next to some guy who's like a Stormfront guy, right? Like a total white supremacist. And like, if I had been with somebody else, I'd been like, dude, look at that total Nazi. Oh my God. And I'm with him alone. I'm like, can't bother me, bro. I'm in a yellow rental Mustang. Whatever. It's cool. I hope you get eaten by a bear, but I don't mean that in a mean way. Like, yeah,
Okay, he probably thought you were a sex offender, in fairness.
He was probably looking over at me. He was like, it's just a liberal sex offender over there. Look at him. And if he'd set that out the window, I just would have been like, yeah, right, man.
So I think what we're saying is the alone vacation, yes, but the group vacation, just be sure you have allies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Group vacation, accept clicks, manage well. When somebody says, let's all do anything together, object strenuously. And say, I'll be the asshole. Take that on if you're the kind of person who can do that. And if you're not, find the asshole, lobby, and get them to say it for you. Okay?
Also,
logical splits, by the way, moms versus dads, youngs versus olds, okay? And drinkers versus non-drinkers. Exploit that. Use wedge politics, and you will enjoy your group vacation.
So find the drunkest dad.
Yeah.
Oh, drunk dad. Drunk dad is an ally here.
Drunk dad said we could rent a boat.
You're gonna end up renting a boat. You know why? No one's like, you have too many hands, right? They're like, blah, 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 I don't know what to do. Yeah, guess what? Drunk dad already got a boat. It's cool.
Either I like way, it
in this situation, you sort of wind up with everyone wanting to please everyone. Right. So, like, you can really nudge the Overton window toward insanity. Like, yeah, we're getting a fucking... Well, Robbie said he wanted to rent a boat. Well,
Charlene already told Daryl we could get tattoos. And, like, I think it'd be better if we just didn't cause problems.
Also, you got to accept that somebody's auntie who's trying to control the whole thing, man, they're just going to end up hating you. You got to write that off. You're like, Andy, Carla, you wanted us all to have dinner at 6 p.m. But guess what? We went to Animal Kingdom and we found the margaritas and it got kind of out of hand.
None of this is theoretical. You are just telling stories from your own
life. I am just, listen, I only speak from experience so that all you right. can take the gilded lessons of my mistakes and turn them into operational knowledge. All right,
there's no way we're going to get through the rest of these, but please.
No, try. We got it. We'll go quick.
Oh, we're good. I'm running this show here. This particular portion of the show.
Moving at the speed of Georgia. Let's go.
We got 2 hours booked, right? A bunch of short trips versus one long trip. I'll jump in real quick here and say I support this one. Our finest vacation we've taken since my daughter was born, in my opinion, they would have different opinions, but my opinion was we took a short trip to West Virginia. Did some rafting, did some hiking and shit. Then we took a very short trip to the Panhandle, did some beach stuff on the Gulf side that doesn't suck. That was a great vacation, didn't cost a lot of money. We got to do a bunch of different shit. And every other vacation we take is like a week and a half somewhere expensive.
I will concur. Without support staff, one long trip, essentially an endurance run for either your family relations or you as a parent. Okay, if you're going to do one long trip, that's a solo adventure. I encourage you to do it. Maybe with a duo. Anything over two people is going to get kind of tiresome. Bunch of short trips, especially if you have small children or old people in tow.
I will also agree, but for different reasons. If you take a short trip, like a 3-day weekend, you can be like, yeah, fuck it, let's eat whatever we want. We're on vacation and it's a short time. If you go on a long trip, like day 7, you're like, ugh. I really should just eat some salad with no dressing. You're fucking terrible.
Gout trip!
That reminds me of when we did for the 2014 title game. We were all in Dallas for like 5 days. And by the last day we did... What was that barbecue place we did for Easy Call?
That was a very poor idea. We ended up eating
The place in Deep Ellum.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a video of it online. Yeah. It's great, but we went back to it for like breakfast before the flight out, and I was just sitting there like, if I take one more bite, I'm going to die.
Pecan Lodge.
Yeah. And we got the fucking platter, and then, you know, after 4 days of tacos and burgers and whatnot, we got the fucking platter again, and I seriously thought I was going to die if I took another bite.
Yeah, if we ever
was a damn work trip.
We will never do a trip like that again. But B, if we do, the first thing I'm doing is going to Walmart and just buying the vegetable platter, just two of those, and being like, "These are here, use them, keep your body moving." Next question.
Yeah, next question. Let's go.
Next. All right. So these we will actually do pretty quickly. We'll go through destinations. Gatlinburg sucks.
Never been. Can't say.
Disagree. They got a knife store and they have
they got
China Knife Bazaar over in Pigeon Forge. Please.
Wow.
There's this other cool place you can buy knives though. It's called the Internet.
The damn knife channel with the Twitter account that tweets out pictures of different Trump knives every half hour. Y'all seen that?
We rate knives.
Yeah.
11 out of 10. Very good knife.
Listen, anti Gatlinburg people, I stand with you. All they got is a sick bear.
Next question.
Europe sucks.
I say no. I like Europe.
Wow.
I will say this. Europe's for old tourists. You should go places where they don't speak English and things are difficult before, and then you should go to Europe afterwards.
So I like this take by Scott Oliver, ScottFree825 on Twitter. Traveling to Europe is obsolete because of Epcot's World Village. I'm stupid enough to agree. I'm so stupid. I agree with that with my actual full mind and heart. Like, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. I spent $9 on some German food. I'm good.
Plus, there are no American college students doing study abroad at Epcot. Or if you are, man, you go to a bad college. You need to do better.
You either go to a bad college or you have
to go to UCF.
I studied abroad at Morocco. Yeah, I will say this, by the way. Europe, like, going there when you're young makes no sense. It's super expensive, and everything is, like, handicapped.
Not now, dog. Brexit.
Okay. Greece, baby. Greece. They set their whole economy on fire. You might as well take advantage of the savings. Santorini for $4 a day.
Everything's got to go.
They'll pay you to fly there.
Like it's mostly handicap accessible. It's expensive. Oh, why are you going to go there when you're young? Go to some place like, kind of like, you know, a little more difficult while you still have like the patience but lack the dollars. That's what you should do. Everybody does that backwards. Go to Europe when you're older.
Next question.
Cruises suck. I've never been on a cruise, but they seem like trash because I don't want to be somewhere I can't leave. The only places that those are that I know of are jails and hospitals and cruises. And those are all trash.
Got an argument. David Foster Wallace went on one and then he committed suicide. Now, admittedly, the lag time between those two might invalidate my argument, but I'm going to take it as true. Cruises are just paranoia inducing fear voyages. The only decent ones for parents. Disney cruises of a moderate length because you can literally just drop your kids off all day.
I have also never been on a cruise, but my 10-year high school reunion was briefly slated to take place on a booze cruise, and I have never seen people I went to high school so mad at the idea that they would not be allowed to leave their reunion whenever the fuck they wanted. So I will, on the basis of Hillsborough High School students alone, no, cruises are bad.
Fuck cruises. Next, going somewhere where it is very hot. That's a terrible idea.
Disagree. Get used to the heat. There's some beautiful places that are just insanely hot. Thailand is one of them. Thailand rules. So just on the basis of that alone, reject. Going somewhere hot is fine.
Yeah, I agree. Also, pretty soon you won't have any other options. So lean into
it. Get used to it. Fuckers. So to me, the distinction here is humidity. If you're going somewhere that's hot and humid, just really think about whether it's worth it. If you're going somewhere that's just plain hot, just fucking suck it up because it's not actually hot. If it's not humid, it's just warm. Beaches. Most beaches suck.
Agreed.
100% agree.
It's true. Overdeveloped, filled with assholes who don't know how to act, right? Usually, we've discussed this before on the podcast. But in the great triumvirate of pool, lake, beach, lake is obviously the superior choice for any of these. Beach, far too many variables, including like just the prevalence of sand in everything. Like, whoa, why don't we go to a desert that's bordered with like tepid water filled with people who don't know how to act and who look awful with their clothes off, filled in this thing that's filled with carnivorous fish, spiny, stinging things. And jet skis. Yeah,
oh, and also it's perfect for wiping off all of the sunscreen you put on.
That'd be good. Yeah,
the beach is the part of the earth that the ocean is trying its hardest to get rid of. Trust the ocean. The ocean knows what's best.
Man, I couldn't say any better. Agreed.
Yeah, just like Moana. Going far sucks. Never go far. Go near.
Disagree. 100%.
It 100% depends on where you live, I think, but in general, going far is good because I don't think this is in your list, but a lot of people said this, that it's not vacation unless you're going somewhere where your phone doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you got to go far. I agree with that sentiment. And you got to go far to go somewhere where your phone doesn't work. But once you do, it's amazing. You should do it.
Well, Ryan, we live in Georgia, so that's not quite as true here, but
if you go far away to where you can't get reception, you won't be able to download the shutdown fullcast, and now you've had a great vacation. You're welcome.
Wow, just improved your life with that one quick fix.
Yeah, don't go far to get the same thing, by the way. That's like you should go far for something different, right? And don't go far with kids. It's very dumb to go far with kids. Unless you're going to be there for 3 months. And by the way, if you're taking a vacation that long, you're really considering just living in that place, right? Like, oh, well, you know, me and my husband, who has a trust fund, we just took the kids to Australia for 3 months. No, you live there for 3 months.
Yeah, you moved.
That's how that worked out. You moved.
You live in a tiny house now. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Going anywhere at all sucks. Just get drunk at your house. There are a lot of our listeners who advocated the staycation model.
No, because half the reason you go somewhere is that you are allowed to do shit that you can't do when you're at home. Like, I don't know, put your towels on the floor and it's fine. Like, that's a thing. The hotel tells you, do this so we know to clean them. Please put your towels on the fucking floor. Do that shit at home and see how fast you get smacked. Oh, why did you leave your towel on the floor? Your wet, dirty towel. Oh, because I wanted you to know that I wanted you to clean it. Was that not cool? Shit.
Let me tell you, it's worse if you put them on home and nobody smacks you. Because you know what that means? You're the one who's supposed to be picking them up.
That means you have a bad home.
That means you got a bad home and you're the one who's responsible for it. Surprise! Yeah, just get drunk at your house. It's a terrible idea. You just be the vacation is about going somewhere where, yeah, you can't normally do those things. And two, someone else is going to take care of business. And three, you ever thought about getting drunk in the woods? Let me just go ahead and get my redneck on for a minute. You should go get drunk in the woods. It's great. Yes. Go get drunk in the outdoors. It's amazing.
So along those lines, another one was sort of boiled down to, if you have to leave your house, be sure you go somewhere desolate and dangerous and you do something stupid. And
correct. I think this Spencer already agrees on this.
Yes. I'm in. I didn't even have to get to dangerous.
This is Spencer's life motto, and this also ties into what Ryan was mentioning about make sure your phone doesn't work.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you got to make sure it's desolate and dangerous. If you're not taking out some form of insurance prior to the trip, limited only to the term of the trip, I really question whether you're doing it right. Go somewhere desolate and dangerous so that when you get home, you recognize it in relief as, oh, this is home. It's a cushy place. I don't even have to try that hard.
I do think you should go somewhere desolate and dangerous, but it should have at least one thing that you can be like, that will be awesome and comfortable. Whether it's like a kind of food that you really like or, a, you know, like a nice pool that you can like. It should have at least one thing that you can be like, there will be one really chill non-dangerous moment. I think you do want that balance.
Yeah, after you brave your way through the dungeon, you open the chest and you get the sword that lets you fight your way to the top of the mountain, and then you get a cool view.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. like let me tell you, like, you could stay home and play Zelda Breath of the Wild, right?
Oh, is that what I was referencing?
Right? Or you could play it outdoors. Like, I thought about that. I was like, am I going to tell these kids to just leave the video games at home? No, sir. I'm telling you to take them outside.
Nah, guess who just took the Nintendo Switch to the Grand Canyon?
I was going to say, did you take the Switch to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, we played Mario Kart at the Grand Canyon. Like, this is the greatest fucking thing any human has ever done. We're connected to no internet whatsoever.
When Alexander the Great had that moment where he was like, conquered all there is to see, you, like, thousands of years later, are like, eat it!
Rainbow Road, bitch! Conquer that!
You, Alexander.
You were wrong!
Alexander the okay. Final take. National parks are very good.
Yes.
This was the one thing everyone approved of.
Yes. I think 100%. National parks are fucking awesome, especially because national parks, by and large, have, like, very reasonable expectations for you. It's like, show up, stay as long as you want, or don't. Do it short, do it fast, whatever. It's not, just, please don't set anything on fire or be a complete asshole.
Yeah, that and this. Like, if you go out there, they're like, it's yours. It's awesome when you're like, oh yeah, I mean, I own this after all. It's cool. You see people who are the most environmentally irresponsible people in the world roll up to a national park and suddenly they're like, I think I stepped on a flower. Like, this is mine. I should take care of it.
I changed the future. Shit.
Yeah. You see people who, and this is the other great thing, is you will at no point in your life ever feel more seasoned, tough, and mountain man-ish. You will never feel more seasoned and like ready for the wilderness than when you go to a national park and you see other people and how ill-prepared they are. Example, go watch videos of people's cars being rammed by bison at Yellowstone, which there's like 20 videos on YouTube at least that are high quality of bison just walking by a car and being like, fuck your car, and just hitting it, right? They're my idea of light entertainment, but when you watch people and how they react to it, it's awesome because, you know, how would you react if you saw a bison hit a car? You'd just be like, oh, that's funny, right? Like, you'd probably go, ho-ho, right? There are people who are like, yeah, exactly. World star, right? There are people in these videos who are like, how did that happen?
Oh my gosh! Look at it! What? Why did it do that?
And you're like, I am like 8 steps ahead of you, but embracing the natural hostile chaos of nature, lady, because like, you, why did that bison do that? Why don't you ask it? Why don't you stroll up to it, dude? Dude in the Minnesota Golden Gopher shirt, who, by the way, everyone in Glacier National Park who had Minnesota gear on was wearing shorts, even though it was like 45 degrees on a mountain pass, like in cotton, sitting up there like, yo, I don't, this isn't cold.
It's a little warm out here.
Guys are a bunch of pansies standing out there in your mountain gear, your breathable, non-cotton mountain gear. You can bring the ice. It'll stick to my flesh like the scales of a lizard, make me stronger. Yeah, that's watching other people encounter the wilderness and realizing that while you may not be Bear Grylls, you may not be Survivor Man, you're definitely further along than a good chunk of the population. You can feel smug about that. I encourage you to.
Like, the difference for me between a national park and a regular vacation is, like, you go to Disney or what have you, and everything is manicured for you, everything is taken care of for you. You know, it's like there is just a hand reaching down from the sky and leading you along and keeping you safe, and every ride is designed for you not to be able to sue anyone, and they went, you know, just every step is just totally designed to give you the false impression that, like, the whole world revolves around you. You go to a national park and you realize you don't fucking matter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this shit has been being built for 900 million years. 900 million years from now, it'll be underwater, but, you know, it'll still be going. You'll be not even a memory. You know, every step you take, you have the option of dying. If you know, like walking down to the Grand Canyon, it's like, wow, like literally one false step and I'm dead. Like,
and the Grand Canyon wouldn't care.
The Grand Canyon would not even notice.
You wouldn't even leave a dent.
No. I mean, if a banana peel fell out of my backpack, someone would yell at my corpse because it would take a long time to decay because there's no weather, but.
You deserved it!
Fuck you, banana man. But like, I mean, just the awe of standing, you know, amidst all that danger and like, you know, nothing here is designed to make you happy. It's just what it fucking is. Like, yeah, man, that's what a vacation is all about. It's not about let's go to this fake ass hotel or whatever, you know.
Also instructive for kids because you take them to the national park and they're like, hey, you know all those times I told you I didn't care if you were happy with that thing I made because I was just trying to, like, be nice to you, right? Trying to raise you, right? Like, you're like, oh, I wanted a cookie. And you're, like, trying to make sure that, you know, you get what you need to eat. Don't need to eat a cookie, right? Because I care. You point out to the Grand Canyon. You're like, you know who doesn't care about you or the existence of cookies? That! And they're like, wow, yeah, that's good. Grand Canyon's definitely not my ally. Dad, I will do whatever you say. They don't do that, by the way. But it's nice to think that they would. Also, another great thing about national parks. Awesome. You feel like so much more wholesome. And they're like, oh, what'd you do on vacation? Oh, we went on a cruise. What'd you guys do? Yeah, I took my kids.
America's splendid wilderness.
took my kids to Zion, where they just absorbed morality and virtue from the soil itself.
Like, oh, some dunking on you morals wise, spiritually, right? Yeah. Now.
You could even go deep with that, right? They're like, oh, you know, we did Yellowstone. You're like, yeah, I guess you could do Yellowstone.
We bought something from actual native artists. Oh, did you? You didn't. Wow. I guess I'm laying up treasures in heaven and you're not.
That's crazy. Yeah, we did this nice little 1.2 mile loop hike. That's cool. We did a backcountry hike. It was awesome. It was like 8 miles in, and, you know, like, little Holden Caulfield Hall, he's like, you know, he's 7, but, you know, he hacked it the whole time. We had adequate hydration, of course, because, you know, we'd planned for months, and, you know, he was holding his own pack and everything, and when we encountered that wounded antelope along the way, and, you know, we've had to put it out of its misery in accordance with life's contract with the
dying. You have to stop killing things in national parks. I've told you this.
We reported it to the ranger and he said, you know, you did the right thing. That's it. That's the merciful thing to do. And then little Holden Caulfield learned something that day. And the other family's like, well, I don't know. We went to the racks afterwards. Had good roast beef.
And then your kid's like, yeah, our vacation fucking sucked.
all he did was look at some damn rocks.
I feel like the best parent in the world. Dad, I need the Switch. Hand me the Nintendo Switch.
What was your favorite part of vacation, Taco Bell?
That's like, I know Jim Harbaugh took all those kids to Rome, right? Took a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds to Rome. And he's like, everybody, look at the impossible eternal legacy of man's effort to rise above the animal and construct something beautiful.
Those kids and literally all they did was make Barstool Sports videos about pizza.
Pizza's good. A lot of scooters. Go Blue.